The sermon this morning, Brother Michael was preaching to us from Matthew chapter 17 on the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ in the mountain. And I'd like to go back to that chapter tonight, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. While Jesus Christ was transfigured in their presence, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. While that was happening, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. What a glorious experience that was for Peter and James and John, who were witnessing all of this. Now, verse 4, Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, that's got to be the understatement of the year. It is good for us to be here. And then he says, if thou wilt, this is the Apostle Peter, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, how many of you all think that was an appropriate suggestion on the part of the beloved Apostle? Let's make three tabernacles. We want to recognize you, Jesus, but we also want to build one to Moses and to Elias. Now, the Apostle Peter was like all of us. He had a lot to learn. And notice what happened next. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. It's about my Son Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We know Moses and Elijah were great characters from the Old Testament and played significant roles in the history of Israel. But let me tell you, they were not to be compared to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They were witnesses of Jesus. And as our brother today pointed out, Moses represents the law and Elias represents the prophets. But the law and the prophets couldn't save us from our sins. So God sends his own Son into the world. And so the Apostle Peter, I'm sure he meant well, but he's out of his place. He's speaking out of turn, which he did a lot. If you have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you probably remember the many times that the Apostle Peter spoke out of turn. I was at Walmart the other day, and I saw a woman with a t-shirt on, and it had this statement: I need a speed bump between my brain and my mouth. Could anybody agree with that? How many of you ever speak out of turn? Times without number, it seems, doesn't it? It would be good to have a speed bump between your brain and your mouth, and slow down and think about it before you say what pops into your head. Well, the Apostle Peter didn't have that speed bump. He was constantly speaking out of turn. And so the Lord gently rebukes him when the Lord says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. listen to my son. It was a nice way of telling the Apostle Peter to shut up. You need to be quiet, brother. Hear my son. And that would be good advice for all of us. I want to go back with you this evening to Mark chapter 14. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 66. Now, Jesus has been arrested. And beginning in verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, you remember the soldiers had built a fire. It was a chilly night in Jerusalem, and they built a fire to warm themselves. And Peter joins the soldiers and warms himself. When his Savior is in the cold arms of death, the Apostle Peter is warming himself by the soldiers' fire. You remember in the upper room just a little while ago, the Apostle Peter said, I will never forsake thee. Y'all remember that? He boldly said it. Though these others, they may chicken out, but not me. You can count on me. Y'all remember that? He was boasting. He was putting the other disciples down. And he was saying, Lord, you can count on me. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. So here we are. Jesus has been arrested, and the Apostle Peter is warming himself by the enemy's fire. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, saying, I know not whither, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out in the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear. Did y'all hear that? Listen to that. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom thou speakest. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, behold, the cock crew crow twice, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and when he thought thereon, he wept. Can you see the picture? How sad this picture is. This shows humanity. It shows the weakness of the flesh, and we all have to deal with it on a regular basis. Now you would think when he has denied Jesus three times, he struck out three times. You'd think he'd be out, wouldn't you? According to baseball, he'd be out. But according to the mercy of God, he was not out. You'd think Jesus would have just said, I'm done with him. He bragged in the upper room and said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You can count on me. And here he is cursing and swearing three times that he doesn't even know me. One of the saddest verses in the Bible, one of the gospel writers tells us when When Peter was denying him, Jesus looked at him afar off. Can you imagine how our beloved apostle felt when the eyes of Jesus fell on him? And he knew he had denied his Lord Jesus. I can tell you, this man, the apostle Peter, was weak in himself. You remember Jesus said to the apostle Peter, Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat. Satan. And he's desiring to sift you and me as wheat. But Jesus says, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And I'm glad to be able to tell you all tonight that later on, the apostle Peter was converted. And he did go out and strengthen the brethren. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled him and he stood up and preached boldly the crucified and risen Savior publicly in the presence of thousands of people, no longer denying Jesus, no longer cursing and swearing and saying, I don't know the man, but boldly through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the, you know, he said this. Let's notice something he said in his epistle. You know, God blessed the apostle Peter to write two books in the New Testament. He was an ignorant and unlearned man by his own admission, but God blessed him through the Holy Spirit to write two books in the New Testament. They were not like the writings of the apostle Paul. You remember what he said about the writings of Paul? He said in verse 15, he said, an account that, this is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. I want to spend a moment right there. You know, the apostle Paul had to confront the apostle Peter on one occasion when he was, you know, when he was being a hypocrite. You remember that? He was eating food that was not kosher when he was with the Gentiles. Peter was. He was eating pork and probably some shrimp. I don't know. Any of the food that was not kosher, he was eating it when he was with the Gentiles. But when the Jewish brethren showed up, he switched back. And the apostle Paul confronted him to his face. Now that had to be humiliating, didn't it? Paul was brave. He was bold. And he confronted him to his face about his hypocrisy. But you know, the apostle Peter forgave Paul. Isn't it good to learn how to forgive brethren and sisters? How many of y'all are good at that? We all need to be working on it, don't we? But he forgave the apostle Paul, and now he says in his epistle, in verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He calls him our beloved brother Paul. That's a wonderful attitude, isn't it? They'd been able to lay down their differences and walk arm in arm as they served the Lord Jesus. And he honored the apostle by saying, and also in all his epistles, and he wrote 14, Paul did, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. So when you and I are reading Paul's writings and we struggle to understand some of it, don't be alarmed, because even the apostle Peter said some of it's hard to understand. And I'll have to say amen to that. But God blessed the Apostle Peter to write these two epistles, even though he was not a well-educated man. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was inspired to write two books. And I believe in these two books, he is doing what Jesus told him to do. Jesus says, Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat. But when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he went out and began to strengthen the brethren. And I want to say, beloved, you and I ought to go around strengthening the brethren. How many of y'all try to strengthen one another in the Lord Jesus? Or do you just put one another down or find fault with one another? That's not our calling. Our calling is to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. You know what the word encouragement means? It means to pour courage into somebody. And I believe our beloved brother Michael was doing that all this week. What about y'all? I felt stronger after every sermon. I felt strengthened. That's what gospel preaching does, doesn't it? It strengthens us. Well, the Apostle Peter, in his letter, is doing what our Savior told him to do. He says, when you're converted, I want you to go out and strengthen the brethren. So listen to what he says in his first epistle, in verse chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, a second time, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the Apostle Peter's hope in Jesus died. And he said, let's go fishing. He just gave up. He thought the whole movement was dead in the water, that Jesus is now crucified and my hope is died with him. But let me tell you, 3 days later, when Jesus came out of the grave, it quickened him again. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, God had abundant mercy on the Apostle Peter. And I'm telling y'all tonight, he's had abundant mercy on me. And Peter says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And how now he's got a living hope. His hope died when Jesus died, but now he's got a lively hope. He's been begotten again to a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me tell you, when he saw Jesus in his resurrected body, it just gave him a lively hope, a living hope, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Now let's turn to the 5th chapter of 1 Peter and notice how the apostle is going to continue to strengthen us. And he's still strengthening us. 2,000 years later, his inspired words are strengthening us. It has me in my lifetime. Listen, in chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter would say, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves all unto the elder, yea, all of you. Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, that night in the upper room, the Apostle Peter was proud. I think I mentioned to you all in a sermon recently, even after Jesus had given them the feet washing service and taught them to humble themselves, they were striving among themselves about which one would be the greatest of the apostles. Y'all remember that? After the feet washing service, they were slow learners. You know, in John 13, the Bible says, and having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He's probably referring to all of his disciples, but I think he probably had specific reference to the 12 apostles. Let me tell you, when you read, when you think about them, Peter, James, John, all of the apostles, you know, I think we sometimes tend to put them on a pedestal. But let me tell you, they were mortal. They were human. They were weak. They were frail. They were debating about which one of them is going to be the greatest of the apostles. That's totally out of order. Jesus put up with them. You and me would have probably fired every one of them and started over. Jesus suffered long with them, just like he's suffering long with us. Yeah, anybody in the house tonight believes Jesus is suffering long with you? Come on now. Are y'all going to be like the Apostle Peter in the upper room and boast about how great you are and how faithful you're going to be? Or have you had a... You know, sometimes God just hits us upside the head and shows us just how frail we are without him. I tell you, he has a way of doing it, doesn't he? He does. But he loves these brethren, and he's going to work with them, and he's patient with them, and he's long-suffering with them. And he tells the Apostle Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. What has the rooster got to do with it? Really, what does the rooster represent in Scripture? You know what the rooster does? The rooster announces the rising of the sun. Where we live in Cochrane, I get up sometimes in the morning real early and go out on the back porch and I hear a rooster crowing. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Africa. Everywhere in Africa you hear roosters crowing before you want to hear them. But the rooster is announcing the rising of the sun. And I believe this rooster that Jesus spoke of here was going to remind the Apostle Peter of his frailty and the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when he heard the rooster, he went out and wept bitterly. One of the gospel writers tells us. No wonder he did. But now our Lord Jesus loves him. He's working with him. And even though he goes back to his old occupation of fishing, Jesus shows up in John's gospel. And I tell you, you want to see the heart of Jesus Christ? You want to see the love, the endless love and long suffering of our Savior? He shows up on the bank of the sea where the apostles are out there fishing. And he's cooked them breakfast. And when they recognize him, they come to, even Peter jumps out of the water. And he won't wait on the boat. He's so anxious to see Jesus. And Jesus has cooked them breakfast. How many of y'all would cook breakfast for somebody that had denied you and treated you like Peter treated Jesus? I tell you, the heart of Jesus, he's so long suffering with me. Let me tell you, if y'all knew my failures and my weaknesses, y'all wouldn't even want to hear me preach. And if I knew y'all's weaknesses, I probably wouldn't want to preach to y'all. But Jesus knows all about us. And he still loves us and sees fit to use us in his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing. That's beyond amazing. And cooking breakfast for them. And he says, come and dine, come and dine. And they do. And afterward, Jesus gets in a conversation with the Apostle Peter. Y'all remember that conversation? He didn't ask him what he believes about election and predestination and all that. You know what Jesus asked the Apostle? Do you love me? That's got to be the most important thing of all. Our love for Jesus Christ. And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. How many of us would have trusted our sheep with a man like Peter? But Jesus says, I want you to feed my sheep. He asked him a second time, do you love me? He says, yes. Jesus said, feed my lambs. That's what Jesus is concerned about, his sheep and lambs being fed. And so now the apostle Peter has learned a lot by the time he writes this epistle. And he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then verse 7, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Brother Michael did a great job, I think, yesterday, quoting this verse and illustrating it for us. Casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. Did y'all know God cares for you? This precious little child that joined today, Jesus cares for her. He cares for the aged, those in the nursing homes. He cares for all of us. Do y'all know that? So why not just cast all your care on him? He cares for you. I love that. And then be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The apostle Peter knew the devil very well, didn't he? The devil had sifted him as wheat. And he's now telling us, I want y'all to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your adversary is not your spouse, it's not your parents, not your children, not your neighbor, not your pastor, not your boss. You know who your adversary is? The devil. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He doesn't stay in one place. He walks about seeking to bless us, to know, seeking whom he may devour. And beloved, you and I'll do well to do what the apostle tells us here, to humble ourselves and submit ourselves one to another and stay in the fellowship of the Lord's people in the church. There's safety in the house of God. And so the apostle says he's going to be walking about and he's going to be seeking whom he may devour, and he has no mercy. I want to tell you all tonight, Satan has no mercy. He doesn't know what the word means. He doesn't get it. He would never have mercy. No mercy at all. He is wicked beyond your ability and my ability to comprehend. Jesus says he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if you and I get in his way and allow him, he will devour us. He can't take away our eternal salvation, we know that, but he can devour us down here. And I've seen it happen through the years. And I want to say a word of caution to all of us tonight in the words of our beloved Apostle Peter, who is speaking out of his own experience when Satan devoured him. He said, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, I'll close with this, but the God of all grace. Did y'all hear that? The God of all grace. How much grace? All grace. Living grace, singing grace, preaching grace, serving grace, forgiving grace, dying grace. He's the God of all grace. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, that is complete, establish, strengthen, settle you. And that's what he did in the life of the Apostle Peter. A man who didn't know how to keep his mouth shut, who was so impulsive, who was always speaking out of turn. God, by his amazing grace, helped this brother to grow up. and to become a steadfast member of the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love that. Let's notice the last verse our beloved apostle wrote, the apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says to us in verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." What a sobering verse. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I hope we've all grown a little in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but there's plenty of room to grow. May God help us. Let's pray. Father in glory, we want to thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We want to thank you for your kindness and mercy and long-suffering to the Apostle Peter, who was so weak in himself. But you blessed him, Father, in so many ways. And you raised him up to preach a glorious gospel message at Pentecost when 3,000 were converted. What an amazing man he was because of your grace. Would you please work in us as you worked in the Apostle Peter, and use us, Father. We know we're weak. We know we're frail in our sinful flesh. Help us to crucify it. And help us to be as holy as a poor sinner can be on this earth, Father. Whatever it takes, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.